Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. The dancing is free.
You know, like back in the day when you would see your dad at the cookout or the barbecue, whatever the hell you want to call it, and like they'd be dancing, they get so pumped up, they start sweating, right? They got their little drink in their hands, right? They got their little Bluetooth on. It's just beeping for, see it blinking for no reason. Ain't nobody calling them. They just still got it on, right? Going with it. And they put the hands up in the air, they put the drink up in the air, and the two-step. That's my dad. That is my dad. So and every time I hear the music, that's what
you tell me. He's got it just sitting in the ear.
It just stays in the ear.
Blinks.
We've all seen
like
this.
It's Star Trek.
Bart, you seen it at the club? You know, you got the one old dude in the club, got the Bluetooth on, the lights blinking. But you're like, you in the club, man. Why you got the Bluetooth on?
Man, my Uncle Warren used to, you know, about five or six drinks in, he starts going to the front room and dancing in his underwear about his ex-woman. You know what I mean? It gets real weird in my spot, man.
That's Jeez. Shocking
with
to hear,
Ace
actually.
Is on.
That is shocking to hear that.
Meanwhile, I know he's on his way back, and he'll be back soon. But, yeah, this is how much I love Keyshawn. Just because we had a couple of callers on, or was asking for Keyshawn updates. So I'm going to my whole thing about how the Lakers could actually be in the play-in tournament, right? And I just start getting blitz texts from Keyshawn. Be like, here, I'm going to read it to you. What are you talking about? You're a moron. You're an idiot. How are you saying this on national TV? What's wrong with you? Lakers all day. You sound like a dumbass. That's when you know that Keyshawn's up on the West Coast watching the show, and he's going to bring the venom when he comes
back. He's about ready.
I know it's time for you, Key. I know you're coming home, baby. We ready for you. We still got our bet, too. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But you know what? As you were hearing in the rejoin, we were coming back from there. You're hearing all the Aaron Rodgers drama out of Green Bay. And as promised, this has been an offseason of a quarterback carousel, a lot of quarterback drama from all over the place. I mean, it's hard to find a franchise, if not a division, for sure, where there's at least one or two teams that are going through it. And another one is in New York, and again, that number two pick in the draft for the Jets is going to be something that the whole league is watching and what they do, because we think we know, but are we sure? And when we talked with Dan Orlovsky, even he said that he didn't feel like that it was 100% that you should give up on Sam Darnold. Now, Rich Cimini had a real interesting story that he has on the .com right now, ESPN.com, all about Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson, and Josh McCown, who is a Jets backup, quarterback who's been worked with Sam also, that he talked about also the idea that used to be suck for Sam, and now it's like that's over. So you know, now it's all about Zach Wilson, and he feels like it's just not the right way to go. And Rich Cimini was on with Darian Mel, and he talked about, and this is where now it becomes tricky, because we think we know what they're going to do at number two, but remember, he has covered this team forever. He would know something. And if he felt like it was a done deal at number two, he would say so. Instead, he talked about what the front office would be thinking in regards to keeping Sam Darnold.
I was told by people who know Robert really well that he and Mike LaFleur, the offensive coordinator, are very pro-Darnold. They really think he's got a talent that has been untapped and that they could make it work with him. So I think he would be more than happy to go and run it back with Sam Darnold in 2021. Robert is involved. I think Joe and Robert, as Joe has said, you know, it's a partnership. That's the way he phrases their relationship. So ultimately, though, Joe Douglas has the final call.
Now, Robert is Robert Saleh, the new head coach.
Well, see, we said about it on this show, and I said it multiple times. I'm like, look, Joe Douglas is going to sit tight. Like, because, you know, Key's been on the show for the longest time. I'm only paying homage to him because he's not here. But he said it from day one. I'm going to keep Sam Darnold. And I started reading more about it, started hearing about all these quarterbacks and watched Sam Darnold play a ton. I'm like, I like Sam Darnold. I think he is the answer. So I'm a big proponent of you keep Sam Darnold. And everybody says, well, you saw what the Dolphins were willing to trade and all these. How come you wouldn't just do it then? They're not going to take him. I'm like, hold on for a second. Joe Douglas is in a position of power here. If teams are willing to give up that much for other quarterbacks, now teams are starting to fall in love with Zach Wilson more and more and more, the closer you get to the draft. You have teams out there that are desperate. Carolina Panthers, desperate. Okay, what are you guys willing to give up? Mm-hmm. Like, who's going to throw everything in the kitchen sink to me for Zach Wilson?
At the last minute.
At the last minute, yes. Then I can retool my team.
Bart, you've been saying this all along as well. I know Dan Orlovsky just said it too, that he would keep Sam. You've been saying it from the very beginning that you feel like you keep Sam and you use that pick and you trade out and you get yourself assets to build forward. That has been you've been consistent on that, and we've talked about it on our show, Barton Hahn, every day noon, by the way, on ESPN Radio.
Good plug.
But you have been saying this. Now you hear Rich Cimini say that he believes that from what he understands, the front office would be comfortable with it as well. Do you feel like maybe we're overhyping the idea of them taking Zach Wilson as a done deal?
I think they're still evaluating. That's why they didn't make the deal with San Francisco. That's why they weren't ready to make the deal. I think you still have to continue to evaluate. You got to see what team, what organization is willing to give up assets to be able to get a haul for that number two pick. We see all the desperation out there. We see Carolina in its desperation. Who knows if Atlanta doesn't get desperate? Who knows if Denver doesn't get desperate? Because they have a great offense. They just need a better quarterback. You think about the Chicago Bears, and I know you're saying, well, Bart, Chicago Bears only have the 20th pick. But if that trade involves the fact that I could potentially get Khalil Mack, or I can get one of those assets that they already have, or Raekwon Smith. Could you imagine Raekwon Smith next to C.J. Mosley, next to the kid that they just brought in, that they're hoping to revive his career from the Lions? Those three linebackers. We just saw a Super Bowl that was dominated by the interior linebackers of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, in this game, it's been trios of impact players at that position. And then you think about that 20, you still have enough ammunition if you have a bunch of future first-round draft picks to accompany that with the 20th pick to move right back to 12 and get you a dominant offensive lineman to support Sam Darnold. This draft is deep in receiver. Receiver is the quickest position in modern football to transition to the pro game. It used to be the running back, because the game was built around a running back. Now the fact that quarterbacks and programs throw the ball so much, these receivers are ready to come in and play day one. You can get you another impact player and be able to get you a haul and build around Sam Darnold. Even if Sam Darnold, you have to pay him and he plays well. Because he hasn't played well for a long time, you don't pick up his option, you're not paying him a haul. You're going to pay him a reasonable salary of maybe $25 million and give him a 3-year deal to prove himself to get his mega deal.
He would have to have just an amazing season for him to really claim the big money. But Jay, we talked with Dan Orlovsky about this earlier in the show, and he was like, no, you can't have both. You can't keep both. And as Josh McCown was saying to Rich Cimini, as he said, that Sam Darnold would welcome that kind of a quarterback, you know, competition, that he'd be fine with it. He'd have no problem with it. Orlovsky says, no, you can't do both. You can't draft Zach Wilson and keep Sam. You've got to do one or the other. I kind of disagree. I think for a year, you certainly could.
Look, I had this situation. Can. You can't, Bart? You're
Bart
saying
says
you can't?
No. Yeah, Bart
why,
says no.
Why you say no, Bart?
Because you can't, because you need a backup quarterback, and you're not drafting somebody with the second overall pick and not being able to get assets for him. And if you get Zach Wilson at 2, you'll never get that value back. If Sam Darnold balls out and you say, wow, he's our quarterback of the future, you'll never get the second overall pick for Zach Wilson. So in essence, you've wasted a pick. Sam Darnold's going to be on borrowed time, much like what we were talking about Aaron Rodgers being on borrowed time. So I think you can't do that. You can't have both of these guys at the same time. You either got to trade Sam Darnold, draft Zach Wilson, and then try and find a veteran backup, or you have to move down, get more assets, and be able to ride with Sam Darnold. You got to make a decision. You got to choose. You can't be stuck in the middle.
I get what you're saying. I just feel like if you don't have an offer that you like, you go forward.
I only laugh because as a Jets fan, you're all over the place.
It's crushing.
You're like, trade one. I don't care. I don't want Zach Wilson. Sam Darnold's a guy. Now it's like,
Give me both. In my heart of hearts, Jay, and thanks for laughing at me over this.
I'm not laughing at
you. In my heart of hearts, what do I really want to see happen? What I want to see is that Sam proves everybody wrong and he ends up being the guy. And it was more about what was happening around him and the coaching than it was about his lack of talent. I just feel like the football gods smiled upon you, Jets, for the first time in many, many years, by letting him fall to you at 3. And now it's up to you to make sure that that is paid off. And I just feel like that's what I'd love to see. It's a better story, if you ask me, than moving on from him. You can get some picks. What Bart said out of the gate is the way I'd want to do it. The fact that Orlovsky says it, the fact that now even Rich Cimini is saying that it's something that they would consider makes me feel better.
Does Sam Darnold have the tools to be an elite quarterback?
Does he have it? Yes, he absolutely does. They just have to get him.
Okay.
They have to get him right mentally.
In the mind of sports, and I know we have to get to our caller, and we have LaFonso Ellis on the line. but in the mind of sports, you're only as great as the people you have around you.
Yes.
Like there's 0.00001% of the 1% of the, you know, professional players who can get by without having greatness around them. A lot of other players who are still great need great talent around them.
Yeah, that, I mean, every quarterback in the league needs talent, and maybe that's all Sam needs is talent and a reset, and hopefully it can happen in Green. We'll see. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. KJZ, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, kicking it with Jay Will. We bring in LaFonso Ellis, ESPN College game day analyst.
Fonz.
And one of the most well-dressed men on the network. I mean,
best
look at him showing up
sports.
In the morning. Look at the tie.
Just everything's clean.
And, oh, the pipes, by the way. I mean, he brings the voice.
Say something, like, LaFonso.
Just stay right back.
Say something, Fonz.
What'd you say?
You imagine calling out screen, screen left, screen left, screen left.
But so Jay asked you a question off the – I feel like we just need to get this out of the way because the answer was perfect.
Yeah.
And Jay asked you a question when we were just talking before off the air, and it was, you know, Drew Timmy – and all the stuff he's doing with his handlebar, celebrating after every basket he made against USC. And I said this on the air last week. I said, can somebody just like one hard foul?
Yeah.
Like, can we put a stop to this? So how did you pose the question, Jay?
I said, Fonz, if you were playing against Timmy and he had a dunk
right
after you were defending and, you know, he does his signature, you know, index fingers over the mustache and hands up in the air, how hard would you hit him the next possession?
Very.
Yes, he said, very. It was. There was no hesitation.
No,
there was no thinking. It was just quick reaction.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah.
Not having it.
Yeah. Very. What does it say? I mean, look. You celebrate a player. He certainly is enjoying himself. He's got great joy, and he's very good. He's been unstoppable. So you can't blame him. However, there's a lot of us that felt that way too watching that.
Well, it's interesting because you make a great play and you can celebrate, but amongst athletes, there's kind of a line and you got to be careful not to cross that line. And each time he does it, I mean, it's dramatic too. It's one of these and then hands up in the air and that kind of thing. And I, you know, being from East St. Louis, Illinois, I got a little something for you the next time you come down to Florida, big boy.
It is definitely true.
East St. Louis, the pink slip?
What'd say?
I said a pink slip. I know East St. Louis very well.
Let's go. just when the referee's not looking, a little cross screen action, and then put him in the wood and help him up.
There you go.
We'll see what happens. I mean, obviously in the national championship game tonight, though,
yeah.
You know, I think he's been obviously huge for Gonzaga.
Yes.
But Fonz, this is the matchup we've been waiting for. Is it going to live up to the billing?
I think so, and we know how impactful Gonzaga's offense is. I mean, their transition game is just incredible, and it's interesting because I think they're the one team that kind of models the NBA right now where all five guys can rebound the basketball and get their transition game ignited. I mean, they average 19 points a game in transition. I think they're second to only Alabama in the NCAA tournament. In the half court, they throw that thing into Drew Timmy. Corey Kispert can flat out knock it down. Jalen Suggs, man, it seems like every single game I see him play, he takes that next step. And Jay, in some ways, he's starting to play bully ball when he puts that basketball on the floor and gets to the rim. Kind of reminds me of you, of how physical you were when you put that basketball on the floor and you can get a guy on your shoulder and being able to finish around the rim. Obviously not quite your level. He's one below you, but I am reminded of you anytime I see him drive. And but on the other side, I don't think Baylor gets enough credit for how good they are offensively. They have the best backcourt in all of college basketball, both on the offense and the defensive side. Davion Mitchell, defensive player of the year this year, has improved his three-point percentage from his freshman year till now, from 29% to almost 46% from three. And Jared Butler, all those, Maceo Teague, Flagler coming off the bench. And I think a guy who doesn't get enough credit, now he's a little wild a little bit on the defensive end, of course, rocks that mullet business in the front, part in the back. But Matt Meyer at 6'9", 6'10", Jay, they're putting dude in ball screen situations with him as the handler. And in fact, when they do the little dribble handoff action, and if he's in it and the five man ends up on him, he backs that bad boy up like three or four dribbles and gives you a little in and out and gets to the rim. And so, again, I don't think they get enough credit for how good they are offensively. They led the country in three-point field goal percentage at 42%, making 11 threes a game. And any of those guys can get you in ISO situations and get by you at any time. And as soon as you even think about helping, now they're kicking that thing where they're knocking down the three. So I think it's going to be a fantastic game tonight.
You see, Fonz, this is where I wish the NCAA tournament, especially the championship game, would go to like a best-of-three series.
That's a good point.
We'd love to see these teams actually compete against each other, you know, win two out of three.
Yes.
And I said this earlier that this is the best in-game scenario for college basketball. This is the closest thing college basketball will have as it relates to like an NBA game. And what I mean by that, because, you know, certain fans like to react, they play so many NBA games per night, they don't play hard. No, I'm talking about as it relates to talent.
Yes.
The talent you have on the floor here, Fonz, is NBA-type talent with NBA caliber of execution, with the way they run their sets.
Yes.
Who's going to impose their will?
Yep.
And this is where it's going to come down to. Gonzaga's guards, like, they are the elite of the elite, but can they be sped up? And this goes into, like, the biggest quote for them tonight is, can they play fast and think slow?
Yeah.
I think they can, because that's how Baylor will force you to play.
I agree with you, Jay. And this is a stretch, and I'm not talking about from a talent standpoint. I'm talking about more from an offensive execution standpoint. Remember when it would be the Miami Heat playing against the San Antonio Spurs? So you got the San Antonio Spurs that's body movement, ball movement, right? You got the Miami Heat, who more of an isolation team. I think that's similar to what we'll have tonight. Baylor being more like Miami, where they get you an ISO, they get the mismatch that they want, put you in ISO situations, either shoot the three or get in the lane and make a play. But you have Gonzaga on the other side that's a lot like the old San Antonio Spurs, where, man, you catch the basketball, and if you're in weak side help and you take a little stare at the basketball, they're going backdoor on you, man. Their ball and body movement is just extraordinary. And to your point, Jay, even going back to the UCLA game, how about this, man? You shoot 57% from three. You shoot 47% from three and 58% from the field, and you still lose. The shot-making ability in that UCLA game was absolutely incredible. I mean, I had the privilege of playing in the league for 11 years with the best players in the world, and I found myself just sitting back going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe the shot-making ability of these young guys. And so I think we'll see a lot of that tonight, too. And, man, I just can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. I do have the Baylor Bears winning, though. They've been my team for the last couple years. And because of their defensive prowess on the perimeter, they'll be able to keep guys in front, and I think that'll be the difference in the game.
Wow. I mean, all right, that's a hot take right there. Lafonso Ellis joins us right now, KJZ, ESPN Radio. He's on the Goodyear Hotline. So with that in mind, though, let's just flip it. You're saying Baylor, but my question to you is this. If Gonzaga gets this done and completes the perfect season, where would that put them in your mind all time among the all-time great teams in NCAA tournament history?
They will certainly go down as one of the greatest teams, and I actually put a little bit of an asterisk by that because this is my 12th season at ESPN now, and what we've seen with the one-and-done rule, we've seen a bit of an exodus of the overall talent in our game because – you know, a guy who has the ability to be able to go to the league after 1 year, they're leaving, and that has a tendency to have a bit of a talent drain. And so, you know, you look back at some of those great teams, the Indianas, the UCLAs, et cetera, you know, there were very few guys who were leaving early, and because of that, the overall talent pool was steep. And so it's difficult for me to compare, let's say, a Georgetown Hoya team with Patrick Ewing and that group to the teams that are playing this game right now, because the overall talent throughout college basketball was so much greater. And so I would be remiss to compare this Gonzaga team to some of those great teams for that reason.
All right, Fonz, I got you.
Hey, Zoe, any concern?
Go ahead, Bart.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Bart.
Go ahead, Bart.
Any, you know, Gonzaga was in their first, you know, tight game of the tournament or of their season. You know, any concerns that maybe they're emotionally spent, legs are a little bit tired, and Baylor can jump on them early?
I can see that, and Bart, I wouldn't be surprised if Baylor got out to an early start, let's say an 8-2, 10-2 for that reason. But I have to say, I thought Mark Few did a great job and with how he approached each and every game. They basically made every win that they've gotten in the NCAA tournament like a big celebration, and yet they've been able to come back and execute night after night. So I don't think it's going to impact these guys as much as it would past teams, because that's kind of been their rhythm. It'll take them a little bit of time, I think, to adjust to the defensive physicality of Baylor, but because of how good they are offensively, and we're talking about shot-making ability, I don't think that'll be as big of a factor. Maybe in the first 4 minutes of the game, but once we get through the first four, I think they'll adjust. But they've celebrated the way we saw them celebrate almost after every single game, and if they didn't do it on the floor, they certainly did it in the locker room.
Yeah, no doubt about that. LaPhonso Ellis is giving us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So today on ESPN Daily, Gonzaga and Baylor tip off tonight in the college championship. You get a preview of the action. Hear a breakdown of Stanford as the women's champion. That's ESPN Daily. Listen on your favorite podcast app. So coming up, we have much more with LaPhonso Ellis. What does he think of Jay's greatest finishes in Final Four history? Mm-mm. And if you missed this earlier, you got to hear it. There's some great moments. That, of course, is coming up after Jay has this.
Connoisseur of case management? Or guru of global sales. Whoever you're looking to hire, you can find them at Indeed. Sponsor a job post, and Indeed's instant match searches through millions of resumes in their database and immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resumes fit your job description. You can add an Indeed skills test so candidates can show you their skills that go beyond the resume. No wonder Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The madness.
Here comes Suggs, long three for the win. Banks it home! Banks it home! Jalen Suggs!
Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
KJZ, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We've got LaPhonso Ellis hanging out with us as well, kicking it with Jay Will. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. So we did this early in the show, but we got Fonzo with us now, so we might as well bring it back because, A, you want to hear it again. B, we want to get LaFonso's take on this as well. It's Jay's round ball rankings. These are the greatest finishes in Final Four or National Championship Game history. Remember, it's Final Four or Championship Game. Not Sweet 16, not Final Eight, none of that. Just in the Final Four. So, Jay, take it away.
Okay, Fonz, let's start with number five.
All right.
Number five.
Okay.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead. Nobody stopped the clock. Nobody stopped the clock.
He's smart, man. I didn't watch a whole lot of college basketball growing up, but I watched that game. I mean, Sherman Douglas, Stevie Thompson, Derek Coleman. Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you, and what a shot by Keith Smart. By the way, junior college transfer.
How about that?
Junior college transfer.
How about that?
You know, like, so all these kids these days with the transfer portal being where it is. You know, here comes a guy from a JUCO being able to get into a school like Indiana, win them a championship for Bob Knight at 21 points in that game. That's number five on my list, Fonz. What do you think?
I think that's solid. I think that's really good. I have no dispute with that one.
Okay. All right. Let's go next one up.
All right.
Number four.
Kansas ball. 10 seconds. 9. Collins moves it up floor. 6.
Intentional foul.
5. Chalmers. 4-3. And the tie. He got it. 2.1 to play.
And people will never understand how difficult that shot was.
It is no good. And we're going to overtime. I mean,
he's a right-handed player moving to his left. That's a really hard shot because you start to fade a little bit to the left and you've got to put the right amount of touch on it. That's an incredible shot.
That was the first time, Fonz, that the world got a chance to feel and see D. Rose. I mean, that was D. Rose and a couple free throws down the stretch.
Yeah.
Right? You think about how close. People always talk about like, oh, Cal should have won more championships. Okay. I mean, you're a couple free throws away. You know, another Kentucky team undefeated away.
Right.
Like, championship game. Like, that's the margin of error. Right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing.
Just, you know, I'm just calling it for what it is.
What see what you're doing. Shot is next, Jay.
No dispute yet.
Number three.
Mm-hmm. 7 seconds to go. 6 seconds. Juzang in the paint. Fade away. No. Got his own rebound. Slithers to the rim and lays it in. 3 seconds to go. We're tied at 90. Here
Don't
comes
relax.
Suggs. Long
Don't
three
relax.
For the win. Oh! Banks at home. Banks at home. Jalen Suggs,
I mean,
a deep bank three to send Gonzaga.
And allowing G. Timmy to just inbound the ball to hit Jalen Suggs in, while he's running. And how about this one? Watch his eyes, Jay. He knew it the moment he let that thing go that it was going in. Watch as he lands.
Oh, yeah, he's
falls
running
it,
for
falls
it.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
Fonz, I said, you know, this game was just a heavyweight battle, right?
Oh, for sure.
The body blows being thrown each way, bruised kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally on the last play, he just lowered a hand a little bit.
Yes.
And that's when Gonzaga came with the right hook across the face.
Yes.
But it's just the way the game played out, Jalen Suggs. But once again, the reason why this is number three on my list, Fonz.
Why?
Final four game, the game was tied.
True.
Right? Game was tied in that kind of scenario. So,
that's true.
Not a championship game. Those games hold a little bit more weight in my overall opinion, which transitions me to number two.
Yet that image will be around for years.
Exactly. Let's go to number two.
Number two.
It's down to 7 seconds. You can see the time. Wittenberg. Oh, it's a long way.
Jimmy B running around trying to find somebody to hug at this moment.
You see, Fonz, like this is bigger than basketball for me because of what Jimmy V represents in the game.
Right.
Jimmy V week, obviously, he's incredible speech at the ESPYs.
Yeah.
Seeing him run around like that, right, off the Wittenberg pass slash shot, whatever the hell you want to call it, Fred.
Yeah,
right?
Assist.
Gets
it was an
Lorenzo
assist,
Charles,
Jay.
For the dunk to win the game in the championship game against the Phi Slamma Jamma.
Survivor in advance. I mean, all that that team had gone through to get themselves to that place, and Wittenberg still says that that was a pass.
He'll always say it. But we know it was a shot.
So
he ain't like
one.
No shot he's ever had. Okay. Number one.
Number one.
Here we go. Jenkins will trigger. 4.7 seconds to go. Inbound to Ryan Arcidiacono. At half court with 3 seconds. Ryan Arcidiacono flips to Jenkins. 3 for the win. It's good. It's good. Jenkins hits the 3 to win the national championship for the first time in 31 years.
I mean, Fonz, this is, by the way, I'm listening to the sound and I'm getting goosebumps on my body.
Sure.
Right? Because, like, just. As a player, that's what every kid dreams of, Alan. Right, Bart? Like, we're in the backyard going up 3-2 and it goes in and they win again. Oh my God, we win again.
Right?
How many times have you done this celebration in your backyard by yourself and for it to actually happen on the national championship game with your teammates? It blows my mind, man.
Well, and Jay Wright clearly knew what was coming because right when Chris Jenkins let that bad boy go, you could see him on the sideline go bang. I mean, he knew that bad boy was going in.
And let me say this too, Fonz. I don't care what anybody says.
What?
If you go back and you watch the tape, you know, big moments are made for big players.
Right.
And a lot of times in these situations, some guys don't want the ball. You see great players sometimes freeze.
Right.
Chris Jenkins is running down the floor the whole time saying, you see his hand saying, give it to me.
Yes.
He wants it.
Yes.
To want it and to have it, look at his hands right now. Give it.
I'm ready.
To want it and to make it.
Yes.
Volumes about a player and the moxie they have in that game.
And how about the push, Jay? The push allowed the defense to kind of set back a little bit. They're off balance. And the shot that everybody always forget about is the trail guy that's coming up the floor. I mean, that was beautifully executed.
So do you got any gripes? Well, any gripes in my top five?
No, no. I'm looking at it here. I have no gripes with one exception. There's a maybe five being in the four spot, but that's a mini gripe, and only because that's Keith Smart, and we're talking about the level of talent that was on that Syracuse team. Well, they have three guys that went to the NBA from that group. That's the only one I have.
We could have Villanova Georgetown.
That's true,
right? That could be in there as
Harold
well.
Harold Jensen had a big shot there. It wasn't like as, but again, if you wanted to also make the gripe, I would agree. Is Keith Smart moves up over Mario Chalmers because Keith Smart was for the win. Chalmers obviously just was for the tie.
Yeah.
But how about this, guys? Would you also consider Lorenzo Charles's dunk, putback, whatever you want to call it at that point, alley-oop, was such an iconic moment for the sport, for the game.
Yeah.
Would you, just because of what it meant and the story around it, the upset over Phi Slammajama, would you make that one number one just because of everything it meant, you know, not just in the context of the game, but in the context of the sport?
No, look, there's probably some recency bias.
Okay.
I mean, I was at the game versus Villanova. Like, I felt that. I saw that. Mm-hmm. It was something. It's the best game I've been to. I can only imagine if I were at that game with NC State, knowing for everything. I mean, having to win the ACC championship to get into the tournament to begin with and have it in that way. Yes, you can make a case for NC State being number one easily.
Let's grab a call while we still have LaFonso with us. Frank is in Florida, wants to ask this question about comparisons between generations. Mm. Frank, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Frank?
I want to say I think I'm going to talk about a team and games that were played before you guys were born. I was still playing ball. The 67-68 UCLA team was one of the best ever. That was the team that beat Elvin Hayes in the Astrodome. And that team had
that was
five
Kareem,
stars
right?
on it all.
Yeah, they lost that game, right, at the Alamo Dome and then later beat them in the championship, right? Isn't that how that went?
They lost that game. It was the biggest crowd I've ever seen in basketball up to then. That was quite a time. But listen, I got to ask a question because it's really bothering me because I played ball, and long story short, the game today is so much different than the game in the past. I watched this Gonzaga team. They look like a team from the past, the way they play ball. Mm-hmm. It's just a totally different game than what a lot of other people are playing. Mm-hmm. And I just – and Jay, I got to ask you this, because I played guard, you played guard, you guys all played ball. What is with the walking and the palming in today's game?
Frank. Frank, give me a bottle of wine, and let's dig deep in it. I'll let Pons answer your question about the generational aspect, but I'll just say this about the walking and the palming.
And thanks for the call, Frank.
It bothers the hell out of me. Like, I see it happen at the pro level all the time, and it's no fault of theirs, right? Like LeBron James does it. Steph does it all the time where they get these inbound passes. Wait, and they take like two or three steps before they even put the ball down. Like, that's a walk. And I know the Euro steps, and we're stepping different ways, and the palming is just – it's ridiculous, man. You can literally – I remember when AI used to first do it. Like, it became like a really big thing because he would sit there, and when the ball would hit this point where he would rock it and it would be held up towards the ceiling, you couldn't stop it. Mm-hmm. Was that a cradle into a shot? Or which most of the time it is if you palm the ball like that.
Yeah.
So it makes you lean forward, but he was allowed to yank you with it and cross it. And you're like, wait a second. And we see it all the time in today's game. So I wish we can revert back to what the rules and regulations mean. I'm sounding like that old guy. I know.
Yeah.
I don't care. And then, Bonds, you can speak on the generational aspect of the game because they're drastically different games.
Yeah, and Jay, I think part of it is, and I made this comment a long time ago, I played with two guys when I was at Notre Dame, John and Joe Ross, and many felt that those guys shouldn't have even been playing Division I basketball. And I said I would take Joe and John Ross over most 4 and 5s now in college basketball for this reason. Joe and John Ross could shoot a left or a righty hook. They could shoot over their right shoulder, their left shoulder. Both of them could shoot it from 15, 18 feet. John could actually knock down threes and could pass. think about it right now in college basketball, how many fours and fives could do half of what I just mentioned to you? Mm. And that's what our caller is talking about. The fours and fives aren't skilled fours and fives. And even as let's look at Baylor, right? We've talked about them being more of an isolation team. They're fours and five. Mark Vidal, he's so important to that team. Tough, rugged, defends, gets on the offensive glass. Flo Thamba the same way. But those guys, you can't give that ball to them in the post and have them score. You can't give it to them for 15 feet for them to knock down a three or knock down a 15-footer. And now we look at Gonzaga. Gonzaga's an old throwback team because they have all five guys, what I call hot, is all five guys on the floor when they have the basketball in their hands or a threat to score. And so as we get back to making our fours and fives skilled, then I think we'd get more of those teams and more of the play that our caller was talking about earlier. But that's it, is you have to look at your team, know what you have. Baylor knows that their perimeter guys are the skilled guys. Their fours and fives are more drop-off guys. And Gonzaga, they have all five guys who are hot that can score. And so you have to play the way that gives you the greatest advantage.
All right, Fonzo, we're going to leave it there. Great to talk to you. Thanks so much. Enjoy the game tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, you got it. So the college basketball season's reached tournament time, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has announced the final ballot. Go to ESPN.com and search the Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award nominees. Tonight's four Wooden Award finalists are in action. Jalen Suggs, Corey Kispert, Drew Timmy, and Jared Butler square off in the national championship game, the John R. Wooden Award, presented by Wendy's. Okay, so coming up, we know the NFL MVP starts a new job, but will he get a new contract anytime soon? That's coming up next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
We will know 30 days from today exactly what the Green Bay Packers' thoughts are when it comes to Aaron Rodgers long term. That's the first night of the draft, okay?
Don't you guys want to ensure, though, that he's your quarterback beyond just this season?
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
On J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit progressivecommercial.com. Alan Hahn and Bart Scott, J. Will doing Get Up. He'll be right back in a few minutes here. We're joined by Adam Schefter on the Goodyear Hotline. Schefter, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Get right to it. When it comes to Aaron Rodgers and that whole story, so is it likely that Aaron Rodgers finishes his career in Green Bay, or how likely is it?
I would say more likely than not, he won't. Again, you just look at it and look at how these quarterback situations have played out. Did Peyton Manning finish in Indianapolis? No. Did Tom Brady finish in New England? No. Did the Green Bay Packers draft a quarterback in the first round last year? Not only did they draft a quarterback in the first round last year, but they traded up to draft a quarterback in the first round
last year. And all Aaron Rodgers did in response to that was go out and win the MVP this year. But again, there are issues between the two sides. And you heard him address it after they lost to Tampa in the playoffs. And you heard him address it with Kenny Mayne on SportsCenter over the weekend. He certainly didn't sound like a guy who was committed to finishing his career in Green Bay. And I don't think that it is all his decision. That also is the decision of the organization that I emphasize traded up to go get a quarterback in the first round last year. No, I don't think he'll finish there.
You know, Adam, when it comes to those type of decisions, either you're too early as an organization, you want to get rid of a player early, or you're late. And, you know, you talked about you talked about Brady. Brady was getting older. Nobody thought that he could play at that ridiculous age. And you think about Manning, it was an injury. But Aaron Rodgers is coming off of an MVP season. Would it be malpractice for them to get rid of him, understanding that even though he's 38 years old, he's really only 35 in body as far as football years because he didn't play his first 3 years?
Yeah, I don't know that it's a football decision there, Bart. I think that it's a decision where I think if we were giving truth serum to Aaron Rodgers, I think he'd be open to moving on. And I think the organization, the coaching staff would like to keep him, but clearly the front office went a different direction last year. And so there are a lot of different issues here, including the development of Jordan Love and where he's at right now and how the coaching staff and the organization feel about him. There's just a lot going on there right now to make me think that Aaron Rodgers is going to finish up there. I don't think it's just a football decision solely. I think it goes beyond that. Did Brett Favre finish up in Green Bay? No, he went on to play for the Jets and the Vikings even. So, I mean, this has become common practice over time. And I think history tells us that the chances are that Aaron Rodgers won't finish up there, especially with everything going on there.
Adam Schefter joining us here, KJZ, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott joining him. He's on the Goodyear Hotline. You mentioned the Jets, and so I have to ask this. There's so many varying takes about this, and it seems to change almost by the day, depending on who you talk to. So I want to ask you, what does the future look like for Sam Darnold with the Jets?
Well, when you say there are takes varying by the day, I'm not sure whether you mean what the Jets are going to do with two, what they're going to do with Sam Darnold, how the two are tied together. I think here's the bottom line on the Jets situation right now, today, and I don't think much of it changes leading up to the draft unless a move is made before then with Sam Darnold. I think today, as we stand, I think the Jets are on track, tracking to go take Zach Wilson from BYU. I think that's right now the most logical course of action, the plan that I think will wind up happening, although we'll see how this plays out. Sam Darnold is in a situation where there are not as many teams today that have as desperate a need at the quarterback position as there were when free agency began a few weeks ago. And so the Chicago Bears went out and signed Andy Dalton. The New England Patriots signed Cam Newton. The Rams traded for Matthew Stafford. The Lions traded for Jared Goff. The Colts traded for Carson Wentz. There are still a couple of teams out there that have not solved their quarterback questions. We don't know what the Carolina Panthers are doing at quarterback right now. We're not exactly sure who the Broncos are going to bring in to compete with Drew Locke. What are the Pittsburgh Steelers going to do to address their quarterback situation long term, unless they believe in Mason Rudolph or Doug Hodges? You got a quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger who came out in the same draft class as Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers. What are they doing right now? And so there are some teams that have to address the position, but the number of suitors, potential suitors for Sam Darnold, isn't as great. So the Jets, in my mind, have a certain price on Sam Darnold. And I think that they're open to dealing him, and I think they'll continue to listen to offers for him. But they're not going to just give him away. They're not just going to say, okay, we're going to do the best we can here. We're moving on from him, and we're going to take this choice. I think that they have a certain price in their mind on what they want for Sam Darnold, and they're not going to move him unless they get that price, which is, I think, a fairly high price.
Schefter, we appreciate it as always. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you got it. So there's a new feature on the Adam Schefter podcast called Ask Adam, where the guest turns the tables and asks Adam the questions. Last week was Bucks GM Jason Light, coming out Monday is running back, soon to be draftee, former Crimson Tide running back Najee Harris. It's KJZ. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Jay Will join us back again. And Adam Schefter join us on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Much more on what the Jets should do at quarterback next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.